from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think if Hop thinks he can win there, I think he would go. Like, I think he is at a point in his career where he wants to have the ability to win. And so I think it more comes down to if he believes that that's a place where he does have a chance to go and win. I don't think the relationship, if he believes that's a place where I can win, I don't think that relationship would stop him from going there.
Former Houston Texan and former teammate of wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins talking about what Hopkins might want to be doing in the second, I don't even want to say the second half of his career, probably towards the end. He is 31 years old, so this is probably going to be the last stop. If you've missed it, DeAndre Hopkins has been released by the Arizona Cardinals, and along with that, Ian Rapoport is reporting this is not a post-June 1st designation. Arizona will take the entire $22.6 million dead cap hit this season. Really a monumentous moment in the offseason, which feels weird because we are getting to a point in the offseason where teams felt solidified, they felt set, and now there is a big pendulum swing potentially going to be happening. I think he likely ends up in the AFC with the team that he goes to. I really, really do. I can't see him fitting on that Eagles roster. And then after that, it's a lot of teams that just maybe are not in that the competing, you know, period of their run here. And you look at the AFC, it is going to be an arms race, I think, to try to get him. It's going to be one of the most fun kind of times to keep up with who he's visiting and everything like that coming up very, very soon. Just me for the next hour. Josh had to bounce. He's going over to WBEN with Tom Bowerly for the next few hours over there. I'm hanging out for the next hour as we get ready for Shipland Bulldogs starting at 3. We're going to go back to the phones where I've got two Davids hanging out on hold. Let's go with David from Elma is on the air. David, welcome to the show, my friend. What do you got for me today?
Zach, you got a long day with you, man.
There we go. It's beautiful out,
long
though.
Day,
so it's not a bad day.
A long weekend.
Oh, that's very true. You got me on Saturday, too?
Yep.
There we go.
Listening.
There we go. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Hey, look, I normally, you know, I'm like, listen to your nightcap and stuff like that. Look, I pretty much agree with a lot of things. I'm not really disagreeing with you on the D-Hop thing. I do think we should take them, but I think take a different look at it. Having 3, possibly 4, if, you know, what we see of Kincaid, elite wide receivers, have the ability to give each other breaks, you know, between plays or whatever for a breather. And it's better than putting on a backup just to run a route and won't even be catching or even be tossed to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That's a great idea. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. David, thanks for the call, my man. And then, you know, you brought up the getting breaks in between plays and having the receivers they do. That reminds me a lot of what the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles did, the team that won the Super Bowl, with their defensive line and how they were able to really essentially just go in waves of that offensive line. They had guys like Derek Barnett, Brian Abram, Fletcher Cox, Vinnie Curry, Brandon Graham, Chris Long. I mean, they came at you in waves along with the linebackers they had as well, like Nigel Bradham. And that's really what allowed them to be as good as they were on that defensive end, is that their defensive line just, it never felt like they were tired because they came at you in waves. That, I think, is a really good idea, that you bring in Hopkins, and you're also going to want to get guys like, you know, Sherfield and Shakir on the field a little bit more, and to get more out of them. Shakir especially, he's another year in the league, going into a second year in what I thought was a pretty good rookie year, all things considered, the limited, you know, touches he was able to get just because of how the Bills were using their rookies last year. I think it is absolutely a move. I can understand the thought process some might have of, you know, there's too many mouths to feed. I think especially when you look at a guy like Stephon Diggs, who, you know, has maybe not put himself in the best light when it comes to, you know, how he handled himself after the Bengals game. I personally don't really care that much, but he's been open about the fact that he's fine if he's not getting the ball as long as the Bills are winning. And if you add in a guy like Hopkins, there's going to be some days where Diggs is the one that gets, you know, 10 targets, 8 catches, well over 100 yards, you know, a touchdown and stuff like that. There's going to be days where Hopkins is that guy. There's going to be days where Gabe Davis is that guy. Look at the AFC divisional game in 2021 where Diggs was effectively shut down, but Gabe Davis just popped off for over 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. That is, I think, what adding a Hopkins can do for you, because it adds that extra element to the Bills' offense. You see it with how he even plays the game. He is much more of somebody that doesn't rely on his physical traits necessarily to get open. He is not the absolute fastest guy in the world. He is not a physical specimen at 6'4", running like a deer, like a guy like a Metcalf or Calvin Johnson. He is a guy that just always gets open and always catches the ball. I think there was one point, I think in 2017, 2018, where he dropped, I think, maybe 2 passes through 2 years. I mean, just that is the kind of player you'd be adding. And also, there's a really good chance that Allen's the best quarterback he's played with, and he played with guys like Watson and even Kyler Murray these past few years, but it just, you look at the talent he could be adding. Last year, he played 9 games as he was dealing with the suspension, and even in 2021, only played 10 games. But even then, last year, 96 targets in 9 games, 64 catches, over 700 yards and 3 touchdowns. Just for him to be able to do that last year at 30 years old, coming off the suspension and really on what relatively became a broken Arizona Cardinals team, especially after the torn ACL with Kyler Murray a little bit later in the year, there's still so much there for Hopkins because of the way he plays the game of football. He is not somebody that solely relies on the physical gifts he has, but instead is seemingly just a craftsman at what he does, where he takes so much pride in his craft and how he does things. He's always open. He's an exceptional route runner and just grabs everything out of the air. This is a thing too. If you've asked a lot of Bills fans, drops from last year with McKenzie, Knox for most of his career. Gabe Davis, I know, has been somebody that has been brought up about drops. Don't really got to worry about that with DeAndre Hopkins. He's pretty sure-handed. And we talked about it, me and Josh, in the last hour of Emmanuel Sanders and John Brown, when they were the number 2 receivers to Stephon Diggs when he first got here, and Gabe Davis was that number 3 receiver, it opened up Davis to, at times, he maybe only had 4 or 5 targets. He'd catch 3 or 4 of them, though, and he'd have 70 yards and a wide-open touchdown that was schemed open, or just for the fact that you can't let Stephon Diggs or DeAndre Hopkins go one-on-one. So someone's doubled up, and Davis is just running up the middle of the field wide open. He's your deep threat. He can be somebody that can absolutely take the top off a defense. He did that last year. Look at the Pittsburgh game with a 96-yard touchdown. There is so much potential at just adding in a guy like Hopkins. And now that you don't have to worry about bringing in that contract and working the cap around that, you don't have to worry about potentially giving up a 4th or 5th round pick, which, you know, come the draft, the Bills couldn't do that. They were moving pieces around. They didn't have many picks to deal with this year anyways. Now you just have to worry about essentially recruiting him. This goes now back to the college days of trying to pitch your team as the best fit for a guy compared to other teams like a Kansas City or an LA Chargers or a Baltimore Ravens. And we've heard now over the weeks how much Hopkins likes Josh Allen's game. We heard a clip earlier today, the I Am Athlete podcast with Brandon Marshall. He brought up the fact immediately Josh Allen was one of the guys he wanted to play with, compared him to a new age Andrew Luck, which I find to be a fascinating comparison. It's just the Bills, I think, are coming into this as one of the favorites to get Hopkins. And it really is down to, do the Bills want to do this? I think they do. I don't have any inside information there. This could also be just the fan in me. But I think that they really do want to add Hopkins, because why wouldn't you? If it fails, it fails. It's not like you're going to be spending a ton of money now. I don't think. I think Hopkins wants to go win more than anything. And that could really be doing it. We're going to go back to the phones. We've got David in Tonawanda on the line. David, welcome to the show, my friend. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. Hey, so you guys have been talking about this DeAndre Hopkins. Want to get your thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel of them having Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins on the outside, and then Dorsey basically figuring out something on utilizing
Gabe Davis?
Putting Davis on that inside slot. See, now they used him in the slot a few times actually last year, and he did pretty well. Now, if you have all three of them on the field at the same exact time, that's going to be kind of hard to basically cover each one of them. And Davis is going to be able to get those yards and get those touchdowns and get that wide openness that the Bills are looking for.
I think so, yeah. David, thanks for the call, my man. And for me, at least on the slot, I don't want Davis in the slot too much. I think he is so much better as a deep receiver. We saw even last year with his stats. Let me grab those real quick. He has been a guy always not a volume receiver. He is very much somebody who is going to be, 15, 20 yards down the field, then you throw him the ball. He is a deep threat guy. I don't want to take that away from his game. Last year, average reception, 17.4 yards per reception. I mean, I don't want to take that away from him. Even here, he had under 50 receptions, 436 yards. I don't want to take that aspect of his game away. And I think when you add in guys like Deonte Hardy and Khalil Shakir, you have clear slot options. And even Kincaid, he's a rookie, and we'll see where that can go. But I would rather have those guys who maybe, I don't want to say are like definitively slot receivers, but closer to that, I'd much rather them there. And Davis, I would just play more wide receiver sets where Davis doesn't have to be in the slot, but can be that third outside wide receiver. That's when the Bills were at their most dangerous in 2021, when it was Diggs, Sanders, and Davis on the outside with Cole Beasley as the slot option and then Dawson Knox as your tight end. That is when they were at they're most dangerous, in my opinion, and that's where I'd like to see them go to again, especially because, with Sanders and really with Brown as well, they fell off about midpoint to those seasons. And with Hopkins, and like I said, with the way he plays, I don't think he's going to hit that wall maybe for a few more years like Brown did. Brown was very much a speed receiver. He was scary as hell running down the field with the Bills, especially and on a lot of those deep passes. And then Sanders was just older. He was 34 years old when he signed with the Bills. You get Hopkins likely at 31 years old and has only played 19 games in these last 2 years, both due to injury and then suspension. And I think that right there, that less wear and tear towards the end of his career, I think they can absolutely help him kind of keep going with the Bills a little bit longer. I don't necessarily know how long the deal would go. And if you're asking me, I'd probably maybe sign him to a 2-year deal, maybe 3-year deal. Because my one issue here, and truly it is my one issue, is his age at 31 years old. I think the Bills desperately need to get younger at the wide receiver position. And need to get younger in the sense of believing that there's a guy who's 22, 23 years old that can be your Stephon Diggs replacement. I don't think Gabe Davis is that. I like the game he brings, but I do think there's a bit of a limited role there for him. And that's why, that's kind of my big thing here is, I would much rather just have him as the deep threat third option that can take the top off of defense and will constantly have teams be terrified at what could be coming, from number 13. but they do need to get younger. And that's where I wanted them to maybe draft a guy in this draft. I absolutely want them to draft somebody in next year's draft. And I kind of thought that way, even if they were able to trade for Hopkins before the draft this year, that I still wanted them to get younger at that position, because it is kind of a quiet thing, but the Bills are getting older. And I'd like for there to be kind of like what the Sabres are doing, where there seems to be at least a clear kind of picture of who could be coming in once some of these older guys like a Jeff Skinner are kind of on their way out. And I don't think the Bills have done that yet, but I also think the reason why they haven't is because the Bills correctly see themselves as absolutely in kind of a win now mode, that you are in the Super Bowl contender window and there's no reason to take yourself out of that, especially you haven't won a title yet. And they're in that window, and I don't think there's any reason for them to think that they should leave it, should get out of it. And that's where adding a guy like DeAndre Hopkins would fit. That, I think, could absolutely take your offense over the top, where even if Ken Dorsey is just not the guy, the offense is going to score points. It's going to be one of those things where it doesn't matter when you have guys like Allen, Diggs, Hopkins, Davis is a third option, Knox even. We've seen how he's developed as a tight end, and kind of why the Kincaid pick was a little surprising to many of us. There's too much talent, I think, for even the offense to fail. Because even last year, when it looked hard, the Bills' offense was still scoring at a crazy rate. And that was dealing with Dorsey going through growing pains and Allen having a bad elbow injury that really, you could see, was affecting some things at the end of the year. Going to go back to the phones. We've got Mark holding on the line. Mark, welcome to the show, my friend. How are we doing today?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me on. I had a question and then a comment. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, could the Bills say, hey, Hopkins, we want to sign you for, we can only afford you on the books for $2 million, but here's a $10 million signing bonus. I'm not sure how that works, but I think a really underrated pickup by the Bills this offseason was Sheffield from the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
He's a burner, and it was awesome that, as much as I hate him, Tyreek Hill said, this guy was unbelievable. We hate to lose him. And I think that's great for Josh, but I'm excited. I think there's something to be said about, a longevity throughout the season. I think we put too much on Gabe Davis last year. And there's something to be said about going to the playoffs, not banged up. That first year against the Chiefs, Diggs was banged up. Beasley was playing on a broken leg. And if we can get, DeAndre Hopkins, not split in time, but taking, a good lesser rest because of a player like Gabe Davis, going into the playoffs with Diggs, Hopkins, Kincaid, stop us now. You know what I mean? I that would just be unbelievable. And I think it speaks to Sean McDermott. He's going to be the defensive coordinator. Look how invested they are this offseason on this offense and being all in for this team. I'm pumped up. Let's go sign Hopkins. Thanks for having me on.
Mark, man, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. And number one, on your first point, yeah, absolutely. You can only afford you $2 million, but we'll put in a bunch of incentives and bonuses that don't go against the cap. Absolutely. I think really what this is going to become now for him to sign, the running joke is that the cap is a myth and it's not real. Yes, it is real, but there are absolutely ways to work around it. And by signing guys to incentives and bonuses is the way to do it. I think that absolutely can work out. This is going to be more, where does Hopkins want to go? I think that's really what it's going to be. Who does he want to play with? I think for me personally, it's going to come down to three teams. I think it really is going to come down to, the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. And the Ravens to me are they're the silent, kid hanging out in the corner of a party where you're like, what's going on over there? Like he's kind of sketchy. And it's because it's comments from Lamar Jackson at OTAs with Todd Monken now as their OC talking about they're going to throw the ball. They're throwing the ball down the field. They're not going to be looking to run every single play. The Ravens are they're that quiet kid in the corner where you're just like, what is happening over there? I don't know him. Nobody knows where he's coming from, yet he's here and he's hanging out. What is happening? That's the Ravens this year. Because I think a lot of people are assuming the Ravens are just going to be the same old Ravens with Lamar. They're going to run way too much. It's going to be a very gimmicky offense, and come the playoffs, they're going to fall apart. I don't know. But I think a lot of it's going to now come down to who does Hopkins want to play for, and he keeps mentioning Josh Allen first. That continuously is the first name out of his mouth whenever asked about it. And I think the Bills have very much a head start on a lot of teams. It really is just going to be, do the Bills want to do that? On your other point with Trent Sherfield, he's a fun prospect. I like that pickup. It's only about a year, but I mentioned it earlier in the show today as well. Tyler Dunn did a great piece with him about the politics in the NFL and how Sherfield a lot of times has had to deal with that, of being a later round wide receiver for some of these teams and essentially, you know, working and clearly being the better receiver, but because a guy that was like a second round pick is on the team, the second round pick gets the touches ahead of him. And he really had a breakout season last year with Miami, their third overall receiver behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. He had a career year, 30 catches, 417 yards, 2 touchdowns. He only started 4 games, and there was clearly this feeling of like he could potentially break out this year. As you said, Tyreek Hill was furious to lose him. That's my thing, I can't see that there's a world where there's an overload of talent, where that there's just too many mouths to feed. There's just not. If you're winning cures everything, it just does. And some people may want to say that Diggs is a diva. I don't think so. I just don't. Diggs has been proven right more times than he's been wrong. When he wanted out of Minnesota, it was because Kevin Stefanski was his offense coordinator, and that man hates throwing the football. Look at Cleveland right now. Hates throwing the football. And when he was on Minnesota, it was the same thing. They didn't know what they had in Diggs. The next year he leaves, he breaks most of the Bills' single-season receiving records. There's not a coincidence there. He is a great talent. And he has openly said, when they're winning, he's all in. He has no problem with it. And then, Mark, to your point as well, in 2020 and 2021, there was so many injuries on the Bills' offensive side of the football, mainly in that receiving room. Cole Beasley in 2020 was dealing with a broken leg going into that AFC Championship game. If they have more mouths on this team, you're not going to have that wear and tear on a lot of these guys that you would have had before, where, let's be honest, in 2020, it really was Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley. After that, who cares? Isaiah McKenzie comes in for, you know, some special plays. Gabe Davis is here for, you know, a few schemed open touches, and that's it. If you all of a sudden now have, you know, this year, let's say they add Hopkins, Diggs, Hopkins, Davis, Sherfield, Hardy, Shakir, and there might be somebody that gets cut just because they can't make it with this loaded of a roster. I would much rather have that problem and figure it out as we go than not have enough mouths and be in October going, all right, well, who's the best wide receiver in college football not named Marvin Harrison Jr. so we can look to potentially draft somebody? I don't want that problem again. I want that problem of, well, we're a little older. We need to probably add somebody. We'll do that in like the second or third round. That's the problem I want to have, is the opposite of that, of where I'm just like, yeah, we'll figure it out when we get there, but right now we are just barnstorming teams. I want to get it to the point where defenses, one of them's going to pop off, you just got to hope to keep up. I want teams to look at the Bills, and I think most of them do already, look at them like teams look at the Chiefs, which is we cannot stop them, we can only hope to maybe hold them back for a little bit and keep scoring with them. You add in a Hopkins, anytime you're past the 45-yard line on the opposing side of the field, you should be going for it on fourth down. The Bills should be haymaker after haymaker with a little dash of more efficiency that we saw from teams like the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs last year, where, you know, the Chiefs lose Tyreek Hill. They don't really have great wide receivers, but they had Travis Kelce, and they became more efficient. Cincinnati's offensive line, not great. And Joe Burrow is so good at getting the ball out as quickly as possible that all their great wide receivers were already open. Boom, 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 boom. And it doesn't matter. They're flying down the field. The Bills can be a mix of those two teams. In a perfect scenario, they can be a mix of those teams of just, we can be efficient. We can be very quick pass happy, which I loved and they were doing in 2019 and at some points in 2021. Or 2020 to 2021. They really got away from it in 22, I think mainly with the loss of Cole Beasley. But with all those talent and with guys like Diggs and Hopkins, who their entire game is, we get open very, very quickly. I think they can absolutely start taking it to teams and really giving them fits all year. It will also allow for other things to open up, for the fact that the Bills won't have to be superheroes. And I mainly talk, when I say superheroes, I mainly am talking about Allen and Diggs being just otherworldly talents. I've talked about it and I've said it. I think Allen's already a Hall of Fame talent. I think he just needs to play like 3 more years at near this level. He's going to be a walk-in Hall of Famer. Diggs, in his second career, which has been with the Bills, has been everything but an average receiver. He's been top 5 every single year. He has put up all-pro seasons, I think, twice, and Pro Bowls in every single one. They're elite, game-changing talents. You add another one into this offense, And it does feel like the offense becomes broken to the rest of the NFL, where they are just doing whatever they want to do. Hopkins last year played 10 games and yet was able to get around 700 yards, or nine games, got 700 yards. Never really been a huge touchdown guy, but gets three on a team that just was broken in the Arizona Cardinals. Just not a good team at all. But I will say this. I do think, while Kansas City is absolutely the team to keep an eye on, they are the clear number one threat to the Bills. Cincinnati, I would probably say, is up there. But in terms of getting Hopkins, I don't think so. Just because of, you know, all the receivers they have. I don't really.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We know if that's the guy that they should go for. But Baltimore, to me, is that team I am worried about. They are absolutely that team I'm worried about. They get Odell Beckham Jr. They have Rashad Bateman. They add Zay Flowers. You have Mark Andrews. And now they seemingly have a offensive coordinator who actually wants to, like, have a modern offense where they are looking to score and they're looking to do it through the air and use the running game as an off-speed pitch, which is what it really should be in the NFL now. It should not be your main go for an offense. You just won't win Super Bowls anymore like that. They're the team that I'm looking for going, they could be very, very scary. And Hopkins has mentioned, I think, wanting to play with Lamar Jackson when Lamar signed his deal. They were celebrating together in Miami. I think they're the team I am actually looking for as a potential, I don't even want to say dark horse. I think it's them, the Chiefs, and the Bills openly as the two teams that absolutely can get this deal done with Hopkins and would become, I feel like, almost near unstoppable in a way if they do get Hopkins, and you're going to kind of have to hope for a potential injury to really stop that. We're going to take a quick time out. Teddy, stay on the line. We're taking your calls, 803-0550. Do you want DeAndre Hopkins on the Bills for his talent and what he can bring to the team, or are you more on the line of just keep him the hell away from everyone else on the AFC? We'll take your calls when we come back. You're listening to WGR.
The sneaky thing about DeAndre Hopkins is, especially in this day and age where you're like, oh man, that wide receiver's fast. Oh man, that wide receiver can do this really well. DeAndre Hopkins has never relied on his speed, which can elongate his career probably far longer than many who do rely on their speed. He doesn't do anything flashily, but he's just a beast.
Alex Clancy over at Locked On Arizona Cardinals, talking about what makes Hopkins one of the best receivers in football. That's, I've been talking about that for the past hour or so, is that he's not the guy that's the physical freak. I mean, of course he is, just being an NFL wide receiver. But ultimately, he's not a guy that wins based off his speed or being bigger than guys. He gets open and he catches every single pass thrown his way. We are still taking your calls at 803-0550. Do you want the Bills to go get Hopkins? Is it for his talent that you really want him and what he could bring to the Bills? Or is it more you want him away from other teams in the AFC? We're going to go over to Teddy, who's hanging out in NYC. Teddy, welcome to the show, my friend. How are we doing today?
Great. How about you?
I'm doing great. The weather's wonderful. We're getting a long weekend. I'm stoked.
Yeah. No, fantastic out here, too. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to run one thing by you real quick. So when I keep thinking about this, I keep going back to, you know, obviously Hopkins has his favorite players, but the coaching situation is something that I haven't heard many people talk about. And when they go to sit down in that room and give him that pitch, you know, all these different teams that are going to be going after him, I think Andy Reid could make a much more believable pitch to him that he's in the right situation to actually, you know, succeed with them and go to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, as opposed to a second-year offensive coordinator in Ken Dorsey, who hasn't really proved that up to this point, that he can, you know, effectively use new talents and kind of figure out things that'll, I guess, most effectively benefit the team and the players. So just wanted to hear your response to that. I'll hang up and listen.
Absolutely. Teddy, thanks for the call, my man. And I'm just in my head as you were saying that, I'm imagining Andy Reid's pitch is that he just sits in the back corner of the room and he's talking to the GM and he's talking to all those guys and they're just like in the back corners, just Andy Reid, and they're like, well, how do you plan on using me in the offense? And Andy Reid just like grunts. Like, it's just like, I'm Andy Reid. Like, you can trust me. Believe, like, my word is gold. Don't worry. And like, that's how I imagine there's no actual pitch. It's just Reid sitting in a corner going, hey, what's up, DeAndre? How are you doing today? And you're right. I mean, like, that's going to be the thing is where does he think he probably is going to be used the best? I love the idea to the Bills. I think he likes maybe Allen better as a quarterback. He brings him up often and he is friends with Von Miller and stuff like that. And there's also going to be the kind of the feeling of he doesn't have to be the number one wide receiver. He can just do his thing where with the Chiefs, we're still kind of waiting to see what Sky Moore is. And after getting rid of Tyreek Hill, it's a lot of no names with Travis Kelce. But, you know, Teddy, you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't think there's a better offensive mind in football outside of maybe Kyle Shanahan than Andy Reid. I think he is an absolute wizard with what he's able to do. And looking back, now that we've seen how successful he's been with the Chiefs, I look back at those early 2000s and even late 90s Philadelphia Eagles teams, and I just wonder what they could have been if they actually had good receivers. I think we all forget that until they got Terrell Owens, it was McNabb and Reed doing a lot of magic with not really a ton of help on the receiver side of the ball. We're going to go back to the phones. Jonathan in Batavia is hanging out with us. Jonathan, welcome to the show. What's going on today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for the show. Obviously, I'm really hopeful that we can somehow land Hopkins, but my concern is the salary cap and where we stand. The timing of this is just real bad. So I really think the Bills should try to move on from like Ed Oliver to try to create some salary cap space. So I'm hoping, but as of now, I'm not really optimistic. I hope maybe we can talk him off the ledge.
Yeah, Jonathan, no problem. Thanks for the call, my man. And at least for me with the cap situation, I don't want to say the cap is a myth, but you can just work this into bonuses, incentives, stuff that doesn't go against the cap. With him being released and the fact that the Cardinals have eaten the entire $22.6 million in dead cap this season, it really frees up who can go after Hopkins and how they can go after Hopkins. That was always the thing of maybe moving off of Ed Oliver. If there was a trade being made for Hopkins with the Cardinals, that it freezes up some cap space and gives them a young player that maybe they would want to use. It didn't really make sense to me with Ed Oliver outside of, you know, the Bills clearing cap. But with how it is now, with the fact that Arizona is eating a lot of that dead cap space, it's going to really allow a lot of people to really dive into this. And this is where you're going to see teams like Baltimore, like Kansas City, like Buffalo, just going after it now because there isn't the worry of, all right, well, you know, offseason's kind of done or free agency's kind of done. We don't really have a ton of cap space here. We can't move stuff around like we were able to, you know, back in February. Now you're at the point where everyone's like, hey, wait a second. The Cardinals just did all the hard work for us. And that's my thing, too. This also tells me that the rest of the NFL was just staring at the Cardinals going, yeah, we can outlast you.
thank God he does not have to wear those hideous uniforms that they came out with.
Don't even talk to me about those Cardinals. The numbers are too close. Who allowed that to happen?
Who decided to put Arizona on the chest? It just looks bad.
Maybe this is a hot take, but the Arizona Cardinals have always had the worst uniforms in sports. Looking at Emmitt Smith's later career when he was with the Cardinals is a catastrophe.
The all black ones, I will say, are probably their best.
Those are pretty good. I do like those ones. But just in terms of the cap situation, I'm not really worried about it. With what Arizona has really allowed the rest of the NFL to do, it makes it a lot more fun, and it also makes it just that much more feasible that a lot of teams can jump in here. It's all about the pitches now. And we heard from Teddy here early in the segment. He called in and did mention, though, that the Chiefs may have the best pitch. And it's not just Patrick Mahomes. It's Andy Reid's their head coach. And that man has worked wonders. He's maybe the greatest offensive mind in all of football. And if you're Hopkins at 30 years old, you've seen what Mahomes is able to do with just average wide receivers last year. I mean, let's just go through his stats this last season. They ultimately do win the Super Bowl. He's also, and this has not been brought up much, and I'm kind of annoyed by it because I brought it up quite a bit last year. He's also the first quarterback to win, or not even just quarterback, just the first player to win the MVP in the same season as he wins the Super Bowl since Kurt Warner did it with the Greatest Show on Turf his first year with the Rams. But last year, well over 5,000 yards, 5,200, 41 touchdown passes, 12 picks. He did that with very average wide receivers and guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a rookie, Sky Moore. I mean, Travis Kelce really is the main piece to that of really causing a ton of issues. But just, I think Baltimore is the scariest team in this situation. I think it's because no one's really talking about them. I think a lot of us as Bills fans are thinking it's Bills versus Chiefs. I think we really do got to bring in that Baltimore can be that scary team. No matter how you feel about Lamar Jackson as a quarterback, NFL players and the league seem to really, really like him. And he is talented. He is very, very good. And you now give him a modern offense coordinator in Todd Monken and not, you know, an archaic dinosaur in Greg Roman who thought running the ball was the best invention since fire and maybe a PB&J sandwich. Like, Baltimore can be very threatening now. And with the fact that their vibes have flipped from everything's ending and the movie 2012 where the world ends is actually a good thing to now they're at a point where they haven't felt better. Lamar's at OTAs. They've added good receivers like Zay Flowers, who I know for a lot of Bills fans, including myself, was one of the few guys in this first round this past year that a lot of us would have been open to taking. They go and get him in the first round. It's just, it is very, very interesting with what can happen here. And then there are other teams as well in the NFC, I think, that can maybe jump into this to try to get him. The Eagles, I kind of mentioned it a little bit ago. I don't think they're really into it. They've got a lot of talent already in the wide receiver position. I don't really know if there's room for Hopkins. They could obviously make a pitch to him. Hurts, I think, took leaps and bounds and really has most of his career. Excuse me, but he's taken leaps and bounds most of his career every year from, you know, years ago when he was Alabama's quarterback to his year in Oklahoma to his years in the NFL. He's always gotten better. He's seen highly in the NFL, and he should be after last season. Chicago is always going to be a team I'm worried about just because they have so much money. Ultimately, I think a lot of teams can play around here and more bonuses and incentives to stay off the cap, but Chicago can just be like, hey, so we got DJ Moore, we've got Darnell Mooney, we've got this really fun kid named Justin Fields who's probably going to pop off this year if you ask me. And we'll give you all this money for like 3 years, and Chicago can all of a sudden feel like they're one of the big contenders in the NFC in a very weak conference. And that could be something too where it's just there really isn't anyone outside of Philadelphia. And it depends on how you feel about San Francisco. I think that they're always going to be there with Kyle Shanahan as head coach. I think the quarterback position, he nearly makes obsolete just because he's that good at scheming around average to bad quarterbacks. But, you know, there's a team in the NFC out there, Dallas even maybe, who can kind of convince him just with who they are. And what they can offer just being the NFC, not really a ton of great teams that they can make that next big jump. But, man, I am now really thinking about Kansas City and just and the pitch that they can make. And this is where, with Dorsey, I mean, this is going to be like some like college finals, this is your last semester, make the best pitch you've gotten after this, you've graduated, kind of stuff that he's going to have to do if the Bills are interested in getting DeAndre Hopkins. Because, again, I don't know how much of a pitch Andy Reid's going to have to do other than maybe handing him his resume and going, look at all those stats. Oh, I'm a wizard, aren't I? Like, I don't know how much he's going to have to do where, you know, even with Baltimore, with Todd Monken, I think they're kind of in the same situation. Monken was great at Georgia, but unproven in the NFL. That's where I think the Chiefs probably are getting a little bit more of a boost over teams like the Bills and the Ravens. The other one, though, that could be into this is the L.A. Chargers, and they're not really brought up nearly as much. They're a very quiet team, funny enough, for a team that is in Los Angeles, which is just ridiculous. They should always be in San Diego. I will never forgive that for them moving to L.A., but they're a team that is also interesting because of who's also at their quarterback, Justin Herbert, also maybe one of the quietest players in the league. You look at their wide receiver room and who they've got currently right now, Keenan Allen, Jalen Guyton, Quentin Johnson, who they just drafted, Mike Williams. Hopkins can absolutely fit on that roster and be a big boost to them. They're constantly, the entire time they've had Herbert, is just trying to pass Mahomes, even for just a year. And they've consistently fallen short. We know Brandon Staley. We'll see what's going to happen there. They also bring in Kellen Moore as an offensive coordinator from the Cowboys. He's been pretty darn good. I have not hated Kellen Moore at all, even with him being the Cowboys, you know, offensive coordinator. I've not really hated what he's done there. I think he kind of is limited at times with who his head coaches and Mike McCarthy. And as much as I like Dak Prescott, when the lights are brightest, Dak has not always done the best. I do know, you know, that that season opening game against Tampa Bay, I think 2 years ago, he was very, very good. But ultimately, Dak's been kind of disappointing in prime time. But they're another team. I think they could absolutely be in this. I can't imagine many teams, maybe outside of Philadelphia, who are going to sit there and look at DeAndre Hopkins and go, you know, I think we're okay. I think we're fine. We'll just go in with what we've got. There's going to be a lot of teams out there. But this, though, is the difference of the Bills now than even when they drafted Allen, where they're getting a ton of primetime games. What do they got this year? 6. Allen is considered one of the young faces, and I don't even want to say young anymore, just one of the faces of the NFL. And last year it showed before he got hurt. And I would imagine that's gone through the NFL circles, is that Allen had a really bad UCL injury last year that was playing, and he was playing through it, that, you know, there were the first half of the season, it looked like Allen was going to run away with the MVP award. It was really only till that second half of the Green Bay game where it was like, ooh, he's not throwing 300 yards and 4 touchdowns every game while also rushing for like 80 yards and a touchdown. Like, he's not doing that every single game. The Bills are in a good position because of who their quarterback is and because of how successful they've been over the past few years. As much as there have been failures, 13 seconds, last year's divisional game, the AFC Championship in 20, they are routinely a very, very successful team. And again, they won 13 games with the absolute from hell winter they had last year with Hamlin, with the blizzard that caused so many games to be moved and everything like that. And then the injuries they get with Trey White coming off of his torn ACL, Von Miller getting a torn ACL, Allen with his UCL injury, and they still won 13 games.
Micah Hyde.
Micah Hyde goes out in week 2. We basically don't get Hyde and Poyer the entire season. They are still able to win 13 games. And I've mentioned it before, even talking about how I feel about the vibes with this team. What they added on the offensive line and even on the defensive line, they've clearly attacked their issues. I think the vibes should be as high as last year. And I understand why they're not. It was a really bad playoff loss to Cincinnati, and even the playoff win against Miami was not very convincing. But you cannot tell me they won't be a Super Bowl favorite if they land DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll wrap up this show when we come back. But coming up at 3 o'clock, Show Up the Bulldog. You're listening to WGR.
DeAndre Hopkins is my real friend. So even though we're not talking about, like, contracts and, you know, coming to the Buffalo Bills, I'm still in contact with D-Hop all the time. But I did see that podcast and all the things that he was saying, and I'm sitting there watching, and all the things that he was saying, like, man, I want to be on a team where the front office is stable and, you know, ownership is great, and I want to play with a great quarterback.
Really, there we go.
To me, it really felt like he was talking about the Buffalo.
Von Miller on the Pat McAfee Show earlier this week, talking about DeAndre Hopkins, his appearance on the I Am Athlete podcast. Telling you, I mean, like, that's the thing, too, Vaughn feels like a great recruiter that has just had some misses lately, but I love his personality. I love that he always has that positive attitude. I hope they can get Hopkins. If you've listened over the past few months, you've known how I felt about Hopkins. I've wanted him badly. The trade was always a little nerve-wracking for me, but now that he's released, I am all the way back in, baby. We're riding high. We ride at dawn. Let's get after it. I hope Bean's got sunglasses on and is ready to make some moves. We haven't talked about the Bills today, of course, with the Hopkins news, and of course, OTAs earlier today with Matt Perino of Syracuse.com, and the Shout podcast and coverage of Bills OTAs on WGR is brought to you by M&M, you pull it. Less money for the parts, more money for your car. And I would be remiss if I did not mention it, but the NLL Championship for lacrosse is going to start this weekend. Buffalo versus Colorado, a rematch of last year's championship. The Bandits are in it. Game one is tomorrow, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock game time. It'll be Saturday, Monday, and if there is needed a third game, it will be on next Saturday, and all three of those games are going to be here on WGR. Can't wait for that. The Bandits, I've never been to a Bandits game, and I need to go to a Bandits game. I've gotten yelled at by all my friends. I won't be able to make Saturday, but next season,
I've been to one. It's like a basketball game with extra.
Yes, yeah, I gotta do
the
that.
The atmosphere is like basketball there, but like normally, like with basketball, the PA guys, like, oh, they'll just announce like what happens. With this guy's literally like, if there's a good scoring chance, he'll literally start sounding like a fan, and he's like, oh, Dane Smith, open, he shoots, oh, and he misses, or something.
If
Matt Vince makes a save, they'll say, what's he got, and then the whole crowd shouts, nothing.
He's nothing. All right, I can kind of get into that. It's been something I've been meaning to go. Same with Bison's games. I feel so bad. Every summer, I'm like, I'm going to go to Bison's games, and I just... All of a sudden, it's like September, and I'm like, ooh, I didn't get to any Bison's games. Hopefully, I get to one of those as well. The Bandit season, though, is likely ending, hopefully, in the next two games, and they can sweep Colorado, but definitely at least by next Saturday. And again, those games will be here on WGR. That's going to do it for me today. I will be back tonight at 7 to 8 for the nightcap, and tomorrow, me and Josh Schmidt will get things rolling for Sports Talk Saturday. We'll, of course, keep talking DeAndre Hopkins, the IIHF World Championships in Hockey, the Rochester Americans, they're in action as well tomorrow. We'll love to hear from you at 803-0554 tomorrow. But without further ado, have a great Memorial Day weekend. And coming up next here on WGR, Shovel the Bulldog.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Still in contact with D-Hop all the time. But I did see that podcast and all the things that he was saying, and I was sitting there watching it, all the things that he was saying, he was like, man, I want to be on a team where the front office is stable and, you know, ownership is great, and I want to play with a great quarterback. Really,
here we go.
To me, it really felt like he was talking about the Buffalo.
Von Miller on the Pat McAfee Show earlier this week, talking about DeAndre Hopkins, his appearance on the I Am Athlete podcast. Telling you, I mean, like, that's the thing, too, Von feels like a great recruiter that has just had some misses lately, but I love his personality. I love that he always has that positive attitude. I hope they can get Hopkins. If you've listened over the past few months, you've known how I felt about Hopkins. I've wanted him badly. The trade was always a little nerve-wracking for me, but now that he's released, I am all the way back in, baby. We're riding high. We ride at dawn. Let's get after it. I hope Bean's got sunglasses on and is ready to make some moves. We haven't talked about the Bills today, of course, with the Hopkins news, and of course, OTAs earlier today with Matt Perino of Syracuse.com, and the Shout podcast and coverage of Bills OTAs on WGR is brought to you by M&M, you pull it. Less money for the parts, more money for your car. And I would be remiss if I did not mention it, but the NLL Championship for lacrosse is going to start this weekend. Buffalo versus Colorado, a rematch of last year's championship. The Bandits are in it. Game one is tomorrow, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock game time. It'll be Saturday, Monday, and if there is needed a third game, it will be on next Saturday, and all three of those games are going to be here on WGR. Can't wait for that. The Bandits, I've never been to a Bandits game, and I need to go to a Bandits game. I've gotten yelled at by all my friends. I won't be able to make Saturday, but next season,
I've been to one. It's like a basketball game with extra.
Yes, yeah, I gotta do that.
The atmosphere is like basketball there, but like normally, like with basketball, the PA guys, like, oh, they'll just announce like what happens. With this guy's literally like, if there's a good scoring chance, he'll literally start sounding like a fan, and he's like, oh, Dane Smith, open, he shoots, oh, and he misses, or something.
If
Matt Vince makes a save, they'll say, what's he got, and then the whole crowd shouts, nothing.
He's nothing. All right, I can kind of get into that. It's been something I've been meaning to go. Same with Bison's games. I feel so bad. Every summer, I'm like, I'm going to go to Bison's games, and I just... All of a sudden, it's like September, and I'm like, ooh, I didn't get to any Bison's games. Hopefully, I get to one of those as well. The Bandit season, though, is likely ending, hopefully, in the next two games, and they can sweep Colorado, but definitely at least by next Saturday. And again, those games will be here on WGR. That's going to do it for me today. I will be back tonight at 7 to 8 for the nightcap, and tomorrow, me and Josh Schmidt will get things rolling for Sports Talk Saturday. We'll, of course, keep talking DeAndre Hopkins, the IIHF World Championships in Hockey, the Rochester Americans, they're in action as well tomorrow. We'll love to hear from you at 803-0554 tomorrow. But without further ado, have a great Memorial Day weekend. And coming up next here on WGR, Shovel the Bulldog.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.